I want to start tonight in telling you a story that I think that you all have heard before. You've heard teaching on it and Bible studies on it. And I think in this story, I pray that you see a part of yourselves in the story. You might not know exactly what this person went through, but there's aspects of the story that you can relate to that is prevalent today in your life. And this is a story of the woman with the issue of blood. There's three accounts in it in Scripture. Matthew has one, Mark has one, and Luke has one. If you take the three of them, I won't read them out tonight. I'm just gonna paraphrase the three accounts in this totality will give you a better idea of the story of what this woman endured, okay? This woman was suffering from this issue of blood for 12 years. Now, I'm sure some of us have suffered some chronic pain for more than a couple years. And my aunt Erica's here too. What a blessing is to have her here as well. Hi, Auntie. How are you?
Thank you.
And she, praise God. So we all understand how much of a burden that is physically to go through something for 12 years. So number one, she had this issue for 12 years. Number two, the scripture says that she spent all her money, everything that she had, to try to get help from the doctors to help her with this issue. And in fact, scripture says not only didn't get better, it actually got worse. So imagine this, all your money, all your finances have been spent, has been allocated to this illness that you've been suffering, and there's no help. Thirdly, there's a consequence to this issue. Under Jewish law, a woman that has issue of blood was deemed unclean. Now, what does that mean, unclean? Well, in Jewish law, if you were deemed unclean by who? By the leaders, the religious leaders of the time, you were not allowed to worship in the temple. You were isolated. So think about the story now. She's been ill for 12 years. She has no money because she spent it on medical treatment that hasn't helped. She no longer can associate with her friends in this capacity of worship in the temple. She is isolated. And not only that, after 12 years, the town starts to talk. Oh, that's the woman with the issue. So no longer is she, not only is she isolated, she's been identified as a woman with the issue of blood. Have you been identified by some character flaw in your life? I know it's called lazy. And so is he, by the way, praise him. That's something in common, right? That it becomes, after a while, when people talk about it, it becomes your identity. You take it on. So this woman not only has the illness that she's carrying, she also has to deal with the identity of being a woman with the issue of blood. So whenever she walks around and goes to the market, oh, there she is. I think we got to let her, honey, Junior, let's step aside and let her walk through. Think about that. This is important. Put yourself or parts of yourself in her life, because we can all identify with that. So now she's an outcast. She's an outsider, not like the others. And then one day, she heard about this Jesus. Because, you know, when Jesus was at that time, there's a lot of talk about this great teacher is, people are following him around. And wherever he's going, miracles are happening. That kind of news spreads quickly in a small town. So she heard about this Jesus that's performing miracles, and life-changing experiences are happening where he is. So it's just about that she heard about Jesus. Oh, she heard what he was doing. And what did she do? Well, I'm going to go there. I need to find this, and I am going to, because nothing's worked. How many of you have done the same thing? Nothing has worked. I've tried everything. And I'm still lonely. I'm still empty. I'm still hurting. You have to raise your hands, but a lot of you know what I'm talking about. The emptiness. No sense of purpose. We all have that. We all share that. In some areas, we all share that. And yet we want something to fill the void. That is the answer to the answer we can never find on our own. So she says, I got to go and get my hands on this Jesus. When she goes now, Scripture says there was a crowd around him, pressed together. You know, pressed together, he and I, hope, I want, like this. Can you stand?
I can stand.
Praise God. I want.
That's no problem.
Wow, he's kind of big.
What you want?
Praise God. No, praise God. This is what Scripture said. This is what Scripture says, that they were pressed together, probably trying to get in front to get to Jesus and themselves. So the crowd that this woman with the issue of blood has to go through to get to Jesus. See the picture? This is an obstacle. Besides the social obstacle that she has to endure. Praise the Lord. It's good, huh?
Great.
We'll see at the end. Praise the Lord. So, this, even with all the issues that I've already explained she's dealing with, now when she comes to meet Jesus, the crowd is like this. And I'm trying to get in front of him. He's trying to get in front. That's the entire crowd that's surrounding Jesus. Thank you. He's a natural. That's the crowd that she's encountering. Now a crowd that's walking through like daisies, walk through the park. They're trying to get to Jesus too. So she sees that. And now they recognize her. Oh, this is a woman with that issue. Keep her away from the line. Imagine that now, right? She's known. There it says followers too. The crowd must include followers of Jesus too, right? I'm sure there were some Pharisees taking notes. What's Christ doing today? That violates Jewish law. Oh, that's not good either. But mostly, they're followers, right? They're the ones that are the biggest obstacle for her. How many of you know that? How many Christians do you know are actually sometimes an obstacle? They don't really encourage you, do they? Huh, Dennis? Think about that. These are followers of Christ that she has to navigate and force her way through to get to Jesus. So that's a very important point. It's not usually the enemy. We think, oh, the enemy is against me. I've heard that before because I said it myself. The enemy is against me. Brother, you don't know. He doesn't know what I'm going through. I think he does know what he's going through. But you like that. You like some sympathy. So picture that now. That crowd locked in, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder. And she's going to say, I don't care. I know I'm embarrassed. I'm probably even ashamed of what I have. They know who I am. But I need him so bad. And this is the part you have to, please, let sink in here. I need him so bad that I'm willing to do anything to get to him. How bad do we need him? Because it ain't easy getting to him. You think of the Carlos here. Move out of the way, Carlos. Go ahead. Go. No, that's not life. I thought that was life when I was really young. Oh, born again Christian, boy, life's going to be a breeze. I discovered the hard way. Life is not a breeze, but it's supposed to be that way. That's what I need him. So she finds her way through. And she is able somehow, she must have been a tough little lady there, to make her way through the crowd to touch him. In fact, look at this point. He didn't even know that she was there. Because all he said was, wait a minute, someone must have touched me because the power came out of me. He didn't know who it was, but he felt that someone made contact because the power that he walked with suddenly made its way out. Then he asked the disciple, who was that? Of course, the disciples being clueless, as they usually were. Some disciple, clueless? I don't know. There's a lot of people here, Lord. It could have been anybody. These are great, great church leaders and founders. Clueless, but that's okay. They're like us, clueless. So the point of the story is what? She did not let any obstacle get her to her need. Point number one, she came expecting. We don't come expecting. I hope tonight you've come expecting tonight, because that's part of the plan, that you come expecting for God to touch someone here, to touch you, to encourage you, whether you need some healing, whether you're in pain, whether you need some encouragement, whether you're lost, whether you need some direction, whatever it may be. The obstacles that are preventing you from walking in your purpose. Because she let nothing stop her from getting what she needed. And lastly, we think that we simply have to wait on God. Let's just wait and God will show up and he'll heal me and he'll fix my problems. And I just sit back and have a nice iced tea, maybe with an umbrella in it, but that's something fruity. If we have that, we'll sit back and God will do the rest. She didn't wait. See yourself in that. This story, this idea that you can sit back and let God. No, he's waiting for you. The healing is there. He didn't have to do anything. There was nothing to do. She initiated the healing. Because she did not let the resistance and the obstacles in her life get her healing. How many of us are letting our obstacles stop us? Oh, the boss is always on my back. If only I got a new job, I'd be happier. Oh, if only I had another wife, I'd definitely be happier. Don't amen that. Because trust me, she married down. Praise God. No. All right. I'm sorry, kind of. Right? If only things around me changed, I could be the person that God called me to be. That's not going to happen. God doesn't operate that way. In fact, for me, I don't know, 30, 40 years to finally realize, wait a minute, it's not the people around me or the things around me or the job or the career. It's not that. It's me going after Christ. You see? That's only then that things start to change. Not around me. I still am miserable in the things I'm doing. That didn't change. We want things that, you know, God said, I'm not going to change the circumstances. I'm going to change you in the circumstances. I need new friends. No, I mean, you don't need new friends. Your friends are good enough. Again, low bar. It's a very low bar. See, you're just an idiot. Praise the Lord. Hey, Mark, start laughing. Wait a minute. There's some coming for you tonight. Right? That's, so the mindset is this. His mindset is, don't worry about it. Do your thing. Things will be rosy and gold falls from the sky. And this happens, that happens. You know what? I've been a Christian a long time. I know a lot of Christians. I don't see a lot of things happening. And they should be. But they're not. Why? We don't expect it to happen. We don't expect things to happen. She didn't wait. She expected that. This Christ that she heard about. She didn't even know him the way you guys know Christ. Moved, expecting something good will happen to her. So that's why that's my message tonight, that you can grab hold of and go back, read it again, because trust me, when you read it, you'll get something that I couldn't even get for you. Something for you. Because without our needs being met, we can't go after the things we desire or dream of or without first having our needs met. It's tough to go after a mansion when I can't make rent. See? God wants to deal with their need. We always think about the lofty, the things that we want. And we forget about what we need. God wants our needs to be met. Then the things come after. Because we can't see beyond that. Especially when we start to measure our problems with the size of God. God must be this big because my problems are as big as God. If you think God's that big, guess what? You're going to stay there. How you see God, how you view God, your perception of God is what limits you from receiving from God. It's tough getting, you know, I have two boys. One is athletic. The other one can walk. That's about, and so I'm trying to be, well, you're not that far behind the walking. Maybe you can stroll. I have two sons, okay? Based on their limitations, that's how I base my expectation. I expect more out of the more athletic son than I would out over the walking son. Understand? I'm just trying to make a point about expectation. So if you think God is small, you'll expect little. You understand that? Can you repeat that back to me? If you see God as small, you expect small from him. So our perception is way off. It's not based on truth. What is it based on? Experiences. I was beat down. I was used. I was hurt. And why did you let it happen? And the experience starts to shape how we see God. Not what the word says, not what we say to each other to encourage us. It doesn't matter. I could tell them until I'll get to praise the Lord. I could tell them till the cows come home about something, but if he believes that God is not for him or God is not capable, he won't receive it. That's a part of faith. That's what she did. See, she had to fight so many different obstacles. Did you see the picture? Do you understand what she had to go through to get to Christ? You and I have had similar obstacles. But that's the kind of thing that God wants to do, to expect healing or expect something, some need to be met. Praise God.